to thy hand, I commit my spirit.
Welcome to the November 15th edition of the First EPC Sermon Podcast. Perhaps you recognize that clip from the 1965 film The Greatest Story Ever Told, starring Max von Sydow as Jesus, with John Wayne as the Roman centurion, recognizing who Jesus really was. For centuries, skeptics and theologians alike have debated over the person of Jesus. If we take Jesus' words as to who he says he is, it causes problems for many. Today, Pastor Jonathan Whitley continues his sermon series in the book of John with a sermon titled, Jesus, the Son of God. If you have your Bible, we're in John chapter 10, verses 30 through 39. Here's Pastor Jonathan.
We're going to be in John chapter 10 this morning, and I encourage you to turn there in your Bibles. Or if you have a device with the Bible, That will be good too. Any way that you can have the scripture in front of you is a good thing. As I was preparing for this morning, I wrote down in my notes a line that a few days ago that can only be the Lord's providence in terms of timing in light of things that have gone on in our world. And the line was simply this: today, more than ever, we need Jesus to be exactly who he says he is. Isn't that the truth? We need Jesus to be the God-man who reveals the glory of the Father, full of grace and truth. We need Jesus from whose fullness, as John says in chapter 1, we have all received grace upon grace. We need Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. We need Jesus who cleanses and changes hearts. We need Jesus who offers life everlasting to whoever comes to him and believes. We need Jesus who sets the captives free and who gives sight to the blind. We need Jesus who restores and makes all things new. We need Jesus who comforts the brokenhearted, strengthens the weak, heals the injured, and seeks the lost. We need Jesus, the bread of life, the light of the world, the door who opens a way to the Father. We need Jesus, the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. We need Jesus, who is the prophet who has revealed God's will to us in his word. And we need Jesus, who is the priest who, with his own life, offered an atoning sacrifice for us and now prays and always lives to make intercession for us. We need Jesus, who is the King, who is sovereignly reigning over all things, who subdues us to himself and defends and protects us, and who restrains and conquers Satan and the world under his feet. This is who we need today. This is who the world needs today. We need Jesus to be exactly who he says he is. We do not need a Jesus of our imagination, a Jesus of our own making, a Jesus of the culture, of the media. No, this is not the Jesus we need. This is not the answer. The answer is that we need Jesus as he says that he is. So with this in mind, we come to our text this morning, remembering that because Jesus came to bring grace and truth, we need both to receive from his fullness grace upon grace. And we keep in mind this simple fact that we need the truth of Christ that humbles us and the grace of Christ that heals. I will be reading from John chapter 10 and beginning in verse 30. And I will invite you, if you're able, to stand with me as we read God's holy inspired word. And Jesus answered, and we're at the end of his answer here in verse 30. I and the Father are one. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? The Jews answered him, it is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, you are blaspheming, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father. Again they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord will last forever. Amen. You can be seated. You see, perhaps the greatest truth of all of the Bible is found in this text today. For from this truth, the Christian religion is set apart from every other world religion. From this truth comes the fulfillment of God's covenant promise to be God to his people. From this truth, God's holiness and love come to us. His justice and mercy are reconciled. From this truth comes life. Yet we also know that from this truth comes division and separation. From this truth comes a reality. You can either accept the truth in whole or you must reject it. There is no middle ground. There is no neutrality. It is not a truth that is relative or subject to the eye of the beholder. It is not a truth that's open to change. Rather, it is a truth that is constant, absolute, and unchanging. And it is a truth that has been tested and proven reliable. It is trustworthy and dependable. We see that from this truth begins the landslide, you might say, of the opposition of Christ to where Christ goes away and his public ministry is finished. And the next time we see Christ publicly, he is coming into Jerusalem the week before he is to be crucified. It is the moment of truth. And the truth is that Jesus is one with the Father. I and the Father are one, he says. What does it mean that Jesus is one with the Father? Well, we can see in these verses that he is one in purpose, or in the word that Jesus uses, works. He's one in works, which includes his miracles. His works are in the Father's name, we have seen. His works are good. Interestingly, this word used in verse 32 for good works is the same word used to describe that he is the good shepherd, which, if you remember, is a word that can also be translated as beautiful or noble. That his works are wonderful. He is one in mission with the Father, that he only does what is pleasing to the Father. Because, as it says in verse 36, he was consecrated and sent into the world by the Father. That is, he was set apart and sent on a mission. And his whole mission, the Son's mission, is to please the Father by obeying him, by saving his people from their sins. So he is one with the Father in purpose. We also see he's one with the Father in his message. I love this logical argument that Jesus uses here, and he quotes from Psalm 82, which we read a little bit ago, another fitting psalm as well, if you think about it in light of these recent events. If you turning there for a moment, you can see in the beginning, talking about God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the gods, he holds judgment. Verse 3, give justice to the weak and to the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Friends, as we think about the message of Christ, let us not forget that his message in this time, in the time that we are living, as Jesus himself says, is a time of favor. This is the window of grace before the judgment of God comes. But there is judgment that is coming. But that time is not now. The message is that now is the time to turn to him. That is the only solution. That is the only true solution. We can go out and fight wars. We can go after wicked, evil people and seek justice. But at the end of the day, the only true solution is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who himself holds Scripture in the highest regard, he says, it cannot be broken. You look at his logical argument here. He's, of course, remember, he's speaking to the religious leaders of the people of Israel, the ones who had much of the Old Testament memorized, if not all of it. They were the champions of the law. If anyone was not ignorant of the law, it was the Jewish religious leaders, the Pharisees and scribes. They knew it. It was their life. And how does Jesus respond to them when they are taking up stones against him for blasphemy? Which, of course, we shouldn't be alarmed by. Leviticus gives grounds in the Jewish law to stone someone who speaks blasphemy against God, who claims to be God. Notice how Jesus responds, and he simply says, doesn't your law, I like how he says that, your law say, I said you are gods? Now, we get caught up with this word gods, and if we look to Psalm 82, we can see very clearly that what the psalmist is speaking about and what Jesus is referring to is this idea, the word gods, but it means judges or rulers, those who are in a position of authority. There are other psalms that use the same kind of language. Psalm 138 does. And he's saying that you are gods, sons of the Most High, because you have received the word of God. You are judges, you are rulers. And of course in Psalm 82, it's showing how these judges and rulers who received the word of God were faulty. They did not actually seek the cause of the oppressed and give mercy to those who needed mercy. They were false shepherds. And Jesus says, even your own word says that those who have been given the word of God are called gods. How do you now say to me, whom the Father has set apart and sent into the world, ironically, you think about this, who is the only one who can actually say that I am a son of God, but the Son of God himself? And you are saying that I'm blaspheming, he said, because he said, I am the Son of God. His message is one with the Father. He holds Scripture in highest regard because he is the Word made flesh. He is the Word. So he's one with the Father in purpose. He's one with the Father in message. We should also see that he is one with the Father in essence or in nature. Of course, this is the point that is the undoing point for the religious leaders. Jesus is saying here that he is God. Not only is he one with God in his purposes, as we ought to be, he's one with God in his message, as we ought to be. One thing distinguishes him from us and all other people. He is not only one with the Father in purpose and message, he is God. He is divine. He is fully God and fully man. So you think for a moment about the Jews hearing this. Jesus is God. If Jesus is God, then that means whatever he has said, I must believe, I must obey, I must follow. My youngest son, Graham, is about one. He's one in a few months, 3 months, I think, this month. That would be right. October, no, 1 and 2 months. Now, every time Graham goes over to the stairs, we have a gate, but sometimes the gate's not up. And so we have this little kind of fun thing we do to try to help him learn. And this also happens outside when he runs outside and he goes towards the alleyway. We run after him and pick him up and we say, uh-oh, we'll move him. You know, sort of, uh-oh, spaghetti-o, let's go away from there. Don't go up those stairs, uh-oh. If he throws his fork on the ground, uh-oh, I put him on the ground, you know. If he throws a fork at my head, uh-oh, don't throw the fork at my head. We have these uh-oh moments of truth with my son. I've done this with all three of my sons. We find, and of course in his mind, when he hears the words uh-oh, he's thinking, oh boy, this is not good. I'm in trouble. What we see here is an uh-oh moment of truth. An uh-oh moment of truth that follows like this, that if Jesus is who he says he is, then the good person's in trouble. Think of the Jewish mindset, the religious leaders. I'm good, I am righteous because I observe the law. I have eternal life because I have observed the law and I have followed it. That is my righteousness, that is my salvation. But if Jesus is who he says he is, uh-oh. Because he's telling me that I need to go to him to be saved. He's telling me that I'm not actually free unless I go to him. He's telling me that I'm actually a sinner. If Jesus is who he says he is, then the good person is in trouble. It's an uh-oh moment of truth. Notice Jesus, and we've mentioned this, exposes the ignorance and inconsistency of the religious leaders. The very law that they claimed was their source of life was in fact condemning them. And in the same way, Jesus exposes our need. He exposes our true position. You think from their mindset for a minute, if Jesus is the Son of God, then their entire worldview is uprooted. Their assurance of works-based righteousness is undone. That they've done X, Y, and Z, and that is how they are to have eternal life. It's completely undone. They would have to admit that they were wrong. Wrong about the Messiah. They weren't looking for a suffering servant. They were looking for a conquering king. Wrong about the law. They believe that life comes through the law. But in fact, the law only shows us how we need Christ. By the law alone, we are condemned. They would have to admit that they were not the masters of Scripture that they thought they were. They would have to admit that they led others astray. They would have to admit that they were not actually servants of God, but they were servants of the devil. You see, to accept the claims of Jesus means recognizing need for him. And sadly, they chose to reject the claims of Christ because they failed to see how badly they needed him. If Jesus is who he says he is, uh-oh, good person's in trouble. But let us also see that if Jesus is who he says he is, our uh-oh moments of truth can also be aha moments of grace. Because if Jesus is who he says he is, then sinful people have hope. That's a message we need today, isn't it? A message that our world needs. This is the true message our world needs. It is good to stand with one another in difficult times. It is good to support one another in difficult times. But if we do not include this message that Jesus is our hope, the only hope, then we have come short. See, only Jesus can meet our true and deepest need. The grace of Jesus' mission, he came into the world to save sinners. And the grace of Jesus' message, though you are sinners, turn, repent, and follow me. Come to me, he says in Matthew 11, and I will give you rest. There are some, as we see here, the religious leaders are struggling. They cannot accept the claims of Christ. They have unbelief. They have doubt. They have hard hearts. There are times in our lives, even as Christians, that we can be filled with thoughts of doubt, thoughts of unbelief. We can be just like the man who cried out, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. And I love how Jesus paints this picture here and says these words at the end of this discussion, the last words of his public ministry in Jerusalem. And he says, if I am not doing, this is verse 37, the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works. That you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father. You see, Jesus here is giving us some insight. How do we go from uh-oh, truth, to aha, grace? He's saying, look to the works. Look to the works. If you can't accept my claims, then look to the works. The works of Jesus prove his words. Consider the works of Christ. And in the Gospel of John alone, we see he's changed water to wine, and he's healed the official's son, and he's healed the lame man. He's fed over 5,000, perhaps as many as 20,000 people from a very small amount of food. He walked on the water. He healed a man born blind. What we will see in coming weeks is he raises a man from the dead. And of course, we know that on the third day, he rose from the dead. And then for 40 days after he rose from the dead, he went around showing himself to more than 500 people. It's interesting, at the end of the book of John, the writer, the Apostle John, says, now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one to be written, I suppose the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Going back one chapter, in chapter 20, he says, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The uh-oh truth, the moment of truth, is that we need a Savior. That we are exposed standing before him. That our good works alone cannot save us. The uh-oh moment of truth is that we are lost. Unless we come to Christ. But the aha grace is, he says, come to me. Believe in me. Follow me. Surrender to me. give up everything else that you hold dear in your life that you've put in front of me and follow me and order your life around that. And when you look to the works, it's hard to deny. It's impossible to deny, in fact. Not one miracle of Christ has actually been undone, in fact. You can't undo them. Why do you think that all the miracles were done so publicly? If we were to see all the things he did in private with just the disciples, holy cow, lots of miracles. You see, our need today, more than ever, is that we need Jesus to be exactly who he says he is. One with the Father, full of grace and truth, whereby from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. This is what we need. This is what the world needs. We need Jesus to be who he says he is. Would you pray with me? Father, we pray that this truth would not only be implanted in our hearts, but it would be planted in how we live our life. That we would surrender to this truth that you are one with the Father and that we need you and that the world needs you. If you are who you say you are, as we believe that you are, then there is no greater truth that we can sound out. There is no greater hope. So help us, God. Help us to proclaim this. Especially in this time, we pray that this truth would be proclaimed. And we thank you. We thank you for giving us eyes to perceive and minds to understand these things. Help us in our unbelief, we pray. We love you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from God's Word. Tune in again next week for another sermon from the pulpit of First EPC in Anna, Illinois. Be sure and visit us on the web at www.firstepc.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/firstepc. Thanks for listening. This has been a production of First Evangelical Presbyterian Church of Anna, Illinois. Until next time, may God bless.